Okay, we're here on the top of Chaf Chedem and Aleph, 10 lines down. The Gemara is about to discuss the last part of the Mishnah, which is v'chachamim omrim mifarer v'zorel ruach. The Chachamim, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda believes that the only way to do bir chametz is through Sreifa. The Chachamim offer up alternatives, and we saw in the Mishnah, which is mifarer v'zorel ruach umatil liyam. That's what the Chachamim say. We discussed in the Mishnah whether the word af appears there or not, and the word af obviously has an afkamina, as we discussed in the Mishnah. Now the Gemara asks, Ibaylahu, Hechi Kamar, what is meant by what the Chachamim say over here? Mifarer v'zorel ruach, you have to crumble the bread, and then you throw it up to the wind. Umifarer umatil liyam, and you crumble it and throw it into the water, into the river, into the ocean. Odilma, mifarer v'zorel ruach, if you're going to throw it out to the wind or up into the air, then you have to crumble it. Aval mitil liyam b'enei. But if you throw it into the water, you can throw it in as it is. So the question is, the word mifarer, is that modifying both zorel ruach and matil liyam? Or is it simply modifying zorel ruach, but not matil liyam? That's the question that the Gemara is posing about the position of the Chachamim. How essential is the crumbling here to whatever the Chachamim say about the disposition? V'tanan nami gabi avodah zarah. Now we also have a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, the same thing, Ki Hagavna, it has a similar type of statement and a similar type of problem, which is, Rabbi Yossi Omer, when you're getting rid of Avodah Zarah, Shochek v'zorel ruach. Now here, Shochek means to pulverize, crush, grind, but it's used with solid objects, as opposed to Mifarer, which is used by bread to crumble. It's the same meaning or the same idea, just depends on the object that you are doing this to. So Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shochek, that you have to grind it down, you have to pulverize it, and then throw it out to the wind, o matil liyam, or throw it into the yam. V'bayluhu, hechik amar. And over there we had the question, what exactly does he mean? Shochek v'zorel ruach, v'shochek matil liyam. The same question, is the shochek modifying both the zorel ruach and matil liyam, that you have to crush it in both cases before you throw it to the wind, before you throw it into the ocean? O dilma. Shochek v'zorel ruach. That the only time you have to crush it, pulverize it, is when you're throwing it l'ruach. Aval matil liyam b'enei. If you want to throw it into the water, you can throw it as it is. So we have a similar type of statement in Avodah Zarah with regards to disposing of Avodah Zarah. And here with Chachamim talking about disposing or ridding oneself of chametz. And we have the same question which regards to whether it's shochek or mifarer, as to whether that is unique to zorel ruach. That's something that you need to do because you're throwing to the wind. Therefore, you have to crumble it because the wind itself will not do that. Whereas if you throw into the water itself can do the damage that you need or do the destructive parts of this that you need. Or do you also have to crush it or crumble it before you put it into the water? So Amar Rabba, Mistavro, Avodah Zarah, Deliyama Melech Ka'azla. Avodah Zarah, since it's going to be thrown into the Dead Sea, Lo ba'ishchika, therefore does not have to be crushed or pulverized before and ground down. Chametz, delishar narot ka'azil. On the other hand, chametz, which goes into the other rivers or the other narot, ba'i pirur, will require pirur. Now we've seen this in Avodah Zarah a number of times. The Mishnayot in Avodah Zarah mentioned that you have to throw whatever it is, the Avodah Zarah, into Yam HaMelech. The properties of Yam HaMelech are that they corrode, they destroy anything that is thrown into it. That's one thing. Number two is boats cannot traverse the Dead Sea. It eats or corrodes the boats, so boats don't go in there either. So you're not going to have a problem of people coming across this or getting stuck on a boat or of the item surviving because the Yam HaMelech does that type of damage where it's not recoverable. So therefore, Rambo suggests over here that maybe there's a difference between chametz and Avodah Zarah. Not because of Avodah Zarah inherently or chametz inherently, but because of the way that we dispose of it. In the Mishnayot in Avodah Zarah, when it talks about Yam, the assumption being in Yam there means Yam HaMelech. Even though sometimes it just says the Yam, but since many of the Mishnayot there say Yam HaMelech, we're going to assume that the word Yam over here means Yam HaMelech. And therefore, by Avodah Zarah, you will only require Shechika when you throw out the Ruach, but not the Yam, which means Yam HaMelech. On the other hand, when it comes to chametz over here where there's no reason to believe that we're speaking about Yam HaMelech, and nobody's going to suggest that you're going to have to take this to Yam HaMelech, then what do you do with the chametz? Chametz, you're going to have to destroy it in both cases. Whether you throw it the ruach or whether you throw it the yam, you're going to have to do pirur. So that is the position of Rabbel. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, back to Mad Rabbel. It's just the opposite. Ipcho mistavra, the opposite makes more sense. As Tosva points out, ipcho mistavra is not exactly the right terminology that should be used over here, because Rabbah is proposing a solution or a way to read the different Mishnayot, whether Ibcha Mistavra is just Rav Yosef is a different way of viewing the Mishnayot, which is Avodah Zarah Deloma Misa by Shchika. Avodah Zarah, which is usually a solid object, so therefore when you throw it into the water, it doesn't ruin it. So there you would require Shchika. There would you require it to be ground down, you would require it to be pulverized, crushed. Chametz, on the other hand, bread, when you throw it into the water, the mamis, that it falls apart and it becomes disgusting by itself, lo by piror, there you won't need piror. I mean, the water itself will cause the same result in the bread without you having to do the crushing, because the bread becoming waterlogged is enough to ruin it in and of itself. So maybe by the bread, it should be fine to throw it into the water without doing anything to it. Whereas by avodah zarah, when you're talking about solid objects, there you're going to have to do something before you dispose of it in the water. Now, Tosafot, in the position of Rav Yosef, says you would also require shchika here to put avodah zarah into Yam HaMelech. The way Rav Yosef is reading this is that you always require the crushing, grinding down of the avodah zarah before you put it in a body of water. But that means Rav Yosef is not going to differentiate between Yam HaMelech and other bodies of water. And that doesn't make so much sense, because we know that the properties of Yam HaMelech are very different than the properties of other water bodies. And therefore, in the end, Tosafot thinks that Lachein Nira Gam Rav Yosef Lo Bai Shchika Lo Bishar Neharot, that Rav Yosef agrees that you only need the crushing in other rivers, Kamol Rabbo. That means, with regards to Avodah Zarah, there's really no machloket between them. There's no machloket between them because both Rav Yosef and Rabbo believe with Avodah Zarah, if you put it in Yam HaMelech, you don't need to do anything for it. If you put it into other bodies of water, then you need to do something for it. Both Rabbo and Rav Yosef agree to that position. Elo Rabbo Strilei Dematulei Stam Avodah Zarah Hainu Yam HaMelech Ubelo Shchika. Just the way that Rabbah reads it is that the word Yam by Avodah Zarah means Stam Yam, and Stam Yam for Avodah Zarah means Yam HaMelech. But Rav Yosef Mukila Bishar Narot, and Rav Yosef says it's talking about other rivers, and he'll require Shchika because of that. But in essence, there's no difference between them. Their Machloket turns out to be in Chametz. Again, Veleka bin Rabbah the Rav Yosef and the Chametz Bishar Naharot. The only difference between Rabbah and Rav Yosef will be in other water bodies with Chametz. Because by Yam HaMelech, again, everybody will agree that you don't have to do anything, because Yam HaMelech will, according to Rabbah, destroy the Chametz anyway. According to Rav Yosef, it's going to be Misa if you put it into the water, so there's nothing to talk about. Question is Shar Narot. According to Rabbah and Shar Narot, Chametz will need Pirur. Whereas according to Rav Yosef, it will not require Pirur. So Tosafot narrows their Machloket down to that one case, the case where it's put into other water bodies for Chametz. In that instance, Rabbah will require you to do Pirur, and Rav Yosef will not require you to be Ruhr. He does that to maintain that there's this difference between Yam HaMelech and other water bodies. And that's clear. There's clearly evident that there's a difference between them. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah sounds like that in many places, that there's something different between them. And so Rav Yosef can't deny that fact. So if we're going to maintain that difference, even within Rav Yosef, that will limit the difference in their opinion to Chametz. And in Avodah Zarah, it'll turn out for different reasons, they'll end up with the same position. Okay, so you're asking why, after you've crushed it, it's no longer avodah zarah, so then why do you have to throw into the nar? So that's not so clear. Because you, as a Jew, cannot be mevatel the avodah zarah. The only one who can mevatel the avodah zarah is the oved, the one who is worshipping the avodah zarah. So if they are mevatel, if they crush it, if they ruin it, then we could be talking about bitul avodah zarah. But if you do it, there is no bitul of the avodah zarah. And there is a pasuk in the Torah, in Sefer Devarim, it says, lo yidbak biyadcham umah min acherim. You can't keep any residual, anything left over from the Avodah Zarah. That's possible you're talking about a golden image that you've crushed down, ground down into gold dust. There's still value to that, and you can't keep that. So there is still a problem with Avodah Zarah. Even after you've crushed it, you have to get rid of whatever you have in hand. And that's why even after Shchika, you have to be Matil Yam, or you have to be Matil the Yam HaMelech. Right, so now, Tanya Kavote de Rabbo, and Katanya Kavote de Rav Yosef. We have a Braita that supports the position of Rabbo, and we have a Braita that supports the position of Yosef. Tanya Kavote de Rabbo. We have a braita that supports Rabbo, haya malech bamidbar, walking in the desert, mifarer v'zorel ruach. He crushes it and throws it up to the wind. Haya malech b'sfina, if he's on a boat, mifarer umatil diyam. Then he crumbles it and puts it into the ocean. So two things we know from this. Number one is, we're talking about mifarer. Mifarer is the verb that's used with regards to chametz. So we're talking about chametz over here, we're talking about the crumbling of the chametz. That's number one. Number two is, there's a boat on the water. A boat on the water means, by definition, we're not on Yam HaMelech, we're in another water body. So between those two things, now we have Hayam Alech Bisfina, a boat that's on another water body, Mifarer, still requires crumbling, Umatil Diyam. And that is the position of Rabba. The position of Rabba is that Chametz requires crumbling because it's placed into areas not that are not Yam HaMelech. And since it's not Yam HaMelech, therefore you have to crumble it or you have to crush it before you put it in. It'll be true by Avodah Zarah as well, but here we have support for Rabba's position as opposed to Rav Yosef by Chametz, who would say that if you throw it into the river, into the water, that should be sufficient. Tanya Kavati de Rav Yosef, if a bright that supports Rav Yosef, Haya Melech Vamidbar, it's walking the Midbar, Shochek Vizorela Ruach. He crushes it, grinds it, pulverizes it, and throws it to the wind. Hayam Alech Misfina, Shochek Umatil Yam. Then he has to crush it and put it into the Yam. So again, here you have Shochek. Shochek is clearly talking about a Avodah Zarah, talking about a solid object, not about Chametz. And over here we said that Hayam Alech Misfina. Again, if he's on a boat, that means that he's on another water body besides Yam HaMelech. Now, a way Tosafot learned before, even Rabbah agrees that in other water bodies you have to do Shechika. It's just that Stam Yam in Avodah Zarah is speaking about Yam HaMelech. And that's why this is a support for Rav Yosef, because over here we have a case of a Yam in Avodah Zarah, because we're talking about Shechika, and it's not Yam HaMelech. That goes against Rabbah's position or Rabbah's stipulation that whenever we use Yam by Avodah Zarah, it's referencing Yam HaMelech, because clearly here it's not Yam HaMelech because you have a boat that is on the water, and boats are not on the water when we're talking about or speaking about Yam HaMelech. Now, the Gemara says, okay, now we have each of these two Braitot. The Braitot now will also present a problem to the other position, which is Shechika, Kasha the Rabbah. This Braitot of Shechika is problematic for Rabbah, and Pirur, Kasha the Rav Yosef. And the crumbling of the bread will also be problematic for Rav Yosef. Shechika, the Rabbah, lo kasha. So the Gemara says, no, Shechika for Rabbah is not a problem. Ha, the Yam HaMelech, ha, the Shar Narot. That's the difference between putting it in Yam HaMelech and Shar Narot. Ein Ochanami. By Avodah Zarah, Stam Yam is Yam HaMelech. So when it's Yam HaMelech, then you don't need to crush it. But Ein Ochanami, I agree with you. If you put it into another water body, you're going to have to do Shechika. I do agree with that part, and I do agree with that position. So even though this Braita doesn't say that Stam Yam is Yam HaMelech, all it's indicating to us is if you use something besides Yam HaMelech, any water body besides Yam HaMelech, we're going to require that you crush it or crumble it down so that it doesn't either float to the coastline or it doesn't come out again or it doesn't get stuck at the bottom of a boat. Pirur, the Rav Yosef Lokasha. What about the Braita Pirur for Rav Yosef that Rabbah brought as his proof to his position? What about that for Rav Yosef? So Gemara says, no, that's also not a problem. Habachite habinhema. Depends what type of chametz we're talking about here. If we're talking about wheat kernels that had water on them that caused them to start to leaven or become problematic, over there we're going to require that you do pirur, because just throwing them into the water is not going to change the status quo. Those are wheat kernels that got wet. You throw them into the water, these are still wheat kernels that got wet, and nothing has changed now. So in that case, we're going to make you open up the bag or whatever they're kept in and spread them out so somebody can't collect them again and put them back together. On the other hand, when you're talking about bread, as soon as you throw it into the water, is going to be ruined. It's going to be waterlogged. It's going to be destroyed. And over there, we're not going to require pirur. So pirur, we will require by solid objects like a chitim, like these wheat kernels. On the other hand, by bread, we will not require pirur. All right, so that's how each one of them will explain the braitot. So in the end, according to Tosafot, the only machloka between Rabbah and Rav Yosef is in Naharot by Chametz, where Rabbah says you have to do shechika or pirur if they crumble it, whereas Rav Yosef says you just throw it in because it's memisa, and that would be the machloket between them according to Tosafot. If you don't subscribe to Tosafot's position, then you'll also end up with a machloket within Avodah Zarah, where Rav Yosef will say that there'll be no difference between Yam HaMelech and other water bodies, and you would require shechika in both of those water bodies. So that means that they would also argue by Yam HaMelech and Avodah Zarah, where Rav Yosef would require shechika, and Rabbah will not require shechika. But that's only if you don't subscribe to Tosafot's position. As far as Psak Halacha is concerned, whether we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda that Bir Chametz must be done by Sreifa, like the Rabbanan that you can do it any way you want, Tosafot over here, as well as some of the other Balei Tosafot like the Smag, say that we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. And that's because we have a Binyan Av that Rabbi Yehuda lays out over here from Notar. Just like by Notar, something that's left over past its time is Bisreifa, so too by Chametz, when it's left over past the time, it's Bisreifa. But we didn't with the Gemara break up that Binyan Av and say, wait, Rabbi Yehuda, you say by the case of Chatat of Shibala Safek and Hasham Talui that they are buried, and therefore we have other things that are notar that are left over past their proper time, and they get buried, they don't get Sreifa. So you're right, that's in Rabbi Yehuda Shita. But according to the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda and believe that the Asham Talui and the Chatat Ha'of Shebala Safek is Nisraf, then the Binyan Av does work. So if we take the position of the Chachamim by Asham Talui and by Chatat Ha'of Shebala Safek, then it'll turn out that the Binyan Av of Notar for Rabbi Yehuda works over here, and therefore the halacha will be that you have to do Srefa by Chametz, and that is the position of Tosafot. On the other hand, the Rambam, the Geonim, and many of the Rishonim disagree with that conclusion and believe that the halacha here is like the Chachamim, that you can get rid of Chametz in any way that you want or in any way possible. And that is because Tosafot mentions it over here. The Ri says, because even though the Binyan Av for Rabbi Yehuda would work according to the Chachamim, nevertheless, many of them may darshan in the Pasuk, which is, Hanutar b'sreifa v'lo kol yisurim shbetura b'sreifa. We already had a miut from the Sreifa of Notar, and that miut might teach us that Sreifa by Notar is unique to Notar and does not belong to any other Yisrim Shebetara, including Chametz. And therefore, Chametz will not have a din of Sreifa. And that is the way the Shulchan Aruch paskens. The Shulchan Aruch paskens, like the Rabbanon, that we can get rid of our Chametz in any way possible. The Ramah does mention that it's optimal, or the best way to do it is through Sreifa, which is our practice, and that either might relate to being Mekayim all the Shitot HaRishonim, including those that believe that Rabbi Yehuda is like Rabbi Yehuda, or it could be because if, as we said before in the Mishnah, that you're Goreis the word Af, it would mean even according to the Chachamim, there is still precedence given to Sreifa or doing it through Sreifa. Okay, next Mishnah. Chametz Shel Nachri. If you have Chametz of a non-Jew, Shavar Lav Pesach, that went through Pesach, Mutar Bahana, you can get Hana from it, and we'll see when. But you can get hana from it. Bishal Yisrael, a Jew's chametz that went through Pesach, asur b'hana, it becomes problematic, shenemar, lo yireh lecha se'or. The Mishnah is pretty cryptic, and the Gemara right away is going to know who's the author of our Mishnah, and what exactly is his position. And that's what the Gemara says right away, mani matanitin. Who is the author of our Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, lo Rabbi Shimon, velo Rabbi Yossi Aglili. We know the positions, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. We're going to have a bright in 1 second that's going to tell us what they are. And none of them fit into our Mishnah. The Tanya, Chametz, ben lifnei zmano, ben la'achar zmano, over alav bilav. Toch zmano, during Pesach itself, over alav bilav, ubikaret divi Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda's position is that there are 3 time periods. There's the time period preceding Pesach. Preceding Pesach means before the night of the 15th. That means from 6 hours and onward on Erev Pesach. Once you're at the end of the 6th hour, when you reach that point where it becomes osur, Mid oraita chametz on erev Pesach, he says, number one, lifnei zmano, there's an isur. There's an isur lav, achila and hana'a, isur lav on erev Pesach from that point onward till the nighttime. At nightfall, for the remaining 7 days of Pesach, then you have both an isur achila and isur hana'a through a lav, but also karet. If one consumes the, or eats the chametz, then they will also be chayav karet during this period of time. And then we have an additional isur, which is achar zmano. After Pesach, there's a lav, mina Torah, to get hanoa from chametz that was avar alav Pesach, that went through Pesach. There's an isur achila and hana'a on that after Pesach. It's an isur lav. That's the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Chametz lifnei zmano ul'achar zmano einu over lav below klum. Chametz before the onset of Pesach, no lav. Chametz after Pesach, no lav. Toch zmano, during Pesach, over lav bikaretu belav. During Pesach, Chametz has that problem. As a Chametz has an Isur Achila, Isur Hana'a during Pesach, and that will result, it's not only a lav, but it's also a punishment of karet. But what's clear from Rabbi Shimon is that there's no Isur beforehand, and there's no Easter afterwards. Now, in terms of no Easter afterwards, that's easy to understand, meaning that there's no reason you should believe that there's an Easter afterwards. The problem with saying that there's no Easter beforehand, that makes it a little difficult, because we've already discussed the fact that you have to burn your chametz by the 6th hour on Erev Pesach. You have to burn Truma by the 6th hour on Erev Pesach. If it's true that there's no Easter Hana'ah, or there's no requirement to rid oneself of the chametz at that point in time, then according to Rabbi Shimon, why don't you keep Truma all the way till the night of Pesach? You shouldn't get rid of it till right before the night of Pesach. So the fact that Rabbi Shimon agrees to the fact that you have to eliminate your chametz at the 6th hour already indicates that there's something that obligates you, and that's what Tosafot says. Nira the Rabbi Shimon, he deino ver alav belav, the chametz lifnei zmano. There's no lav, there's no lotas, there's no negative commandment. Nevertheless, modehu da asur b'achila, He has to agree that there's a problem of achila from the sixth hour and onwards. Otherwise, why are you getting rid of chametz at that point in time? That's number one. So number two is, where does he get it from? So that's what Tosfot says. V'nira denafkele mi tashbitu and me'ach chilek. He learns it out of the requirement of tashbitu to eliminate the chametz and limud that we had in the first parak, which is ach chilek, that tashbitu applies even on Erev HaPesach, even on the sixth hour of the day coming to Pesach. For mashma the tashbitu shlok derech hana'a dehainu achila. Tashbitu means that you have to get rid of it, not in the way that you get hana from it. How do you do that? You don't eat it. But if you want to cook it under your pots and use it for hana'a, that would be mutar. So then, im tomar lama tzorfim b'sheish the Rabbi Shimon. If that's the case, why do you burn it in the 6 hour corner of Rabbi Shimon? It's still mutar b'hana'a all the way until that nighttime. So Tosfot says, yesh lamar the gazrin and shema yochleno. We're afraid you're going to eat it. If you keep it around, we're afraid you're going to eat it. So we say, get rid of it at one shot. You got to get rid of it. We don't let you get rid of it little by little, because then there's a risk that you'll eat it. So for Rabbi Shimon, there is an Isra Achila that derives from the assay of Tashbitu. So there is a requirement to eliminate the chametz at that point in time, at least mi'achila. The hana'a, it's still mutar b'hana'a, but because we're afraid you might eat it, we say get rid of it at the sixth hour. So there is an Isra assay, but there is no Isra lav according to Rabbi Shimon beforehand. So now we have a statement in the Braita, which is mishash, asur b'achila, asur b'hana'a. From the moment asur b'achila becomes asur b'hana'a, now, here it says, Atan the Tana Kama. The Gemara just makes a comment. That belongs to the Tana Kama. That belongs to Rabbi Yehuda. That statement is in Rabbi Yehuda's position. Rabbi Yehuda believes that there's an Isra Achila starting with a lav on Erev HaPesach. Also thinks there's an Isra Hana. So number one, that shows you that Rabbi Shimon does not believe that. So even if there's an Isra Achila for Rabbi Shimon, there is no Isra Hana. And that means that it's relegated to Rabbi Yehuda's position. Now, Rabbi Yossi Aglili is the third position. Rabbi Yossi Aglili we bumped into already earlier in this parak. With regards to an individual who said that there's no Isra Hana with Chametz. And that's when we were questioning the positions of Chizkiya and Rabbi Yabau. We asked about how do we fit into Rabbi Yossi Aglili because of Lo Yachel that's mentioned by Chametz or Lo Yochan that's mentioned by Chametz. How come Rabbi Yossi Aglili ends up with the position that there is Mutar Behana'a? So there we discussed Lo Yireh Lecha that appears 3 times, and therefore Rabbi Yossi Aglili has a source for Lecha that based on that it belongs to you. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Tamal Atzmecha, Heya Chametz Asur Behana'a Koshiva. How is chametz asur for the all 7 days? Rabbi Yossi Aglili's position is tamalatzcha heya chametz asur b'na koshiva. Where did you ever find this isra hana for the 7 days? Certainly, he doesn't think there's an isra hana before or afterwards, but during the 7 days itself, he clearly doesn't say that there's an isra hana. And again, we discussed this early in the Gemara what the source for Rabbi Yossi Aglili's position is. Now the Braita continues. Uminai lochel chametz mishesha otu lamala shul ver below tase. What is the source for the fact that there's an isur lav from 6 hours and on Erev Pesach and Yudalid? From consuming, eating chametz, and included in that is an Isur Hana, Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Lo tochal alav chametz, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda quotes says the source for his position that the Pasuk says, Lo tochal alav chametz. That's found in Sefer Devarim, in Perek Tetzayin, in Sefer Devarim, Parshat Re'eh, in Pasuk Gimel. The Pasuk beforehand is Pasuk Bet, which is, Vezavachta Pesach l'shem elokecha, tzonu bakar, so you have to bring a korban of Pesach, Ma'akom Hashem Yivkar Hashem L'Shekein Shemo Hashem, in the place that Hashem chooses, meaning in the Beit HaMikdash. Then the next pasuk is, Lo Tochal Alav Chametz. You may not eat Chametz Alav, on it. So on it, what's the reference of Lo Tochal Alav Chametz? That reference is pasuk beforehand. So what Rabbi Yehuda is suggesting over here is that Lo Tochal Alav Chametz, the Alav over here, references the korban of Pesach that's mentioned in the previous pasuk. Now, previous pasuk talking about korban of Pesach, when is the korban of Pesach brought? That's brought on the afternoon of Yudalit. So just like that's when the korban of Pesach is, there's an Isur then of Lo Tochal Alav Chametz, that while you're bringing that korban of Pesach, you may not eat Chametz, and that's his source for an Isur Chametz prior to the onset of Pesach. Div Rabbi Yud, Amar Lo Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon says, V'chiev Shalom Arkein, how can you explain it that way? Halo Kvar Nemar, Lo Tochal Alav Chametz, Shiva Jamim Tochal Alav Matzot. What about the remainder of that pasuk? The pasuk in Pasuk Gimel in Dvarim Tetzayin says, Lo tochal alav chametz, shivat yamim tochal alav matzot, lechem oni, ki b'chipazon yatzatem eretz mitzrayim, montezkod yom tzedcham eretz mitzrayim, kol yamei chayecha. So if the pasuk says, shivat yamim tochal alav matzot, for 7 days you can eat on it matzot, it's clear that the on it anymore is not the korban of Pesach, because you don't have a korban of Pesach all 7 days. So that's clearly not the right interpretation over here. So if that's the case, then what does the Lo Tochal Alav Chametz mean here according to Rabbi Shimon? Bisha, Shinesh Bo Bekum Achol Matzah, Yeshnam Babal Tuchal Chametz. There's a hekesh between chametz and matzah teaching you that whenever there is a requirement of kumach or matzah, you must eat matzah, which is during the 7 days of Pesach, then yesh no b'bal tochal chametz. There's a restriction against eating or consuming chametz. U'b'shav she'en b'kumach or matzah, when there's no requirement of eating matzah, for instance, prior to Pesach, on Erev of Pesach, enu b'bal tochal chametz, there's no Yisr chametz. So Rabbi Shimon says, I can't see the limud that you have here, Rabbi Yehuda, because if you continue in the pasuk, it says shivit yamim tochal alav matzot, and alav there can't be referencing the korban of Pesach because 7 days is not when you have the korban of Pesach. So the matzot are clearly on Pesach itself, the shivat yamim, and just like the matzot are on the shivat yamim, that's when there's an isur chametz or an isur achilat chametz, and that's why Rabbi Shimon says there's only an isur lav on Pesach itself. There is no isur lav outside of Pesach, not before, not afterwards. Okay, so now the Gemara backs up. That's the Braito. Now the Gemara backs away and says, let's understand each one of these positions, which is, Mai taimo de Rabbi Yehuda. What is the position of Rabbi Yehuda? Flato krayei ktive. He has three psukim. One pasuk is found in Shmot Yud Gimel, pasuk Gimel, which is lo ye'achel chametz. Then we have a pasuk in Shmot Yud Bet, pasuk Chav, which is v'cho machmetzet lo tochelu. And then we have a pasuk in Dvarim, the one that we just quoted here, Dvarim Tetzayin Gimel, which is lo tochal alav chametz. So chad lifnei zmano, one of them is before this man. V'chad ha'achar zmano, one of them is for after this man. V'chad ha'toch zmano, and one of them is for during this man. So in terms of which is which, we already know that he thinks lo tochal alav chametz, the one from Devarim, is the one talking about lifnei zmano. So that's the one that he relegates to lifnei zmano. In terms of which one is achar zmano, or which one is toch zmano, here we don't have any clarification about which is which, but it's most likely that kol machmetzet lo tochelu is the one that refers to the Isur Chametz during Pesach for two reasons. One is the pasuk, or the continuation, the pasuk is kol machmetzet lo tochelu b'chol mashvartechem tochlu matzot, which makes it sound like that this Isur Chametz is associated with the time that you're eating matzot. And number two is the pasuk before is kol ochel machmetzet v'nichrata nefeshehi me'adat Yisrael. So the chiyuv karet, which we know for sure is only associated with Pesach itself, is found in the pasuk preceding this. So in all likelihood, the kol machmetzet lo tochelu is the one that refers to Isur Chametz bizmano, and lo ye'achel chametz will be for the Isur Chametz that is afterwards, because there it's not necessarily associated with matzah and the chiyuv karet. In addition here, the list of the psukim is actually backwards to the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, first of all, that there's lifnei zmano, and we know that lifnei zmano comes from lo tochal alav chametz. So if you do that, knowing that lo tochal alav chametz is the pasuk that he brings last, and then says lifnei zmano first, so if you follow it through, then the middle position will be that toch zmano, and then the first position that he brought will be achar zmano, and therefore they would line up, that kol machmetzet lo tochelu has to do with toch zmano, and lo yachal chametz has to do with achar zmano. Rabbi Shimon says, chad lo toch zmano, I agree with you that one of them is for toch zmano. V'chol machmetzet mi bayile. So he takes the machmetzet and says that chol machmetzet is definitely not what you thought, Rabbi Yehuda. L'tanya, I need that for this, for what's learned in the Braita. En li elo shenit chametz me'elav. That's only a case where it became chametz by itself. Machmat davar acher minayin. How do I know if it became chametz through something else? How do I know that's also problematic? Tamal omar kol machmetzet lo tochelu. No matter how it became something, machmetzet, once it is in the form of chametz, then it is problematic. Lo ye'achel chametz mi ba'ile. Lo ye'achel chametz, he needs it. Retanya. Like we said, Rabbi Yosef Gli Omer, minayin the Pesach Mitzrayim, she'ein chimutzo noheg elu yom echad. How do I know that in Mitzrayim, they only kept the restriction of chametz for 1 day, and not for a full 7 days? Tamad lomar, because the pasuk says by lo ye'achel chametz, v'samich le, and right afterwards, juxtaposed with, the next pasuk begins, hayeum atem yotzim. So if you look in the psukim in Perek Yud Gimel, in Shmot, in Parshat Kadesh, it says over there, "Vayom Moshe la'am zochor et hayom hazeh asher yatzatem mimitzrayim bebeit avadim, ki b'chozek yad ushtei Hashem etchem mizeh, lo ye'achel chametz." And then the next pasuk begins, "Hayom atem yotzim b'chodesh aviv." Today you're leaving. So what Rabbi Shimon says, the juxtaposition of those two teach you that the lo ye'achel chametz here is associated with "Hayom atem yotzim b'chodesh aviv." Only today is there a restriction. And Moshe is speaking to the people who are leaving Mitzrayim. You're leaving Mitzrayim today. That's the day that there is a restriction of eating chametz. Other than that, there isn't. We won't have 7 days of Isur chametz in that first year when they left Mitzrayim. So that's the position of Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon, if we look at his position with regards to the three psukim that were brought by Rabbi Yehuda, he says, first of all, kol machmetz lo tochelu comes to teach me a chiddush. A chiddush is that not only something that became chametz by itself, but something that was caused to leaven by another agent will also be problematic. Now, truthfully, as Tosafot points out, if you have sa'or in there, and that's what caused it to leaven, of course it's a sa'or. Sa'or is much worse than, or when you have sa'or that leavened it, it's of course much worse than chametz that leavened by itself. So he says that can't be what the Gemara is talking about here. Gemara is talking about other type of fermentation or fermenting items that cause the leavening. So it's not sa'or, and it's not by itself, but some sort of third type of item that causes fermentation that will cause it to rise. Examples that Tosfot brings over here are kegon shenit chametz lidei shemrei yayin, talking about dregs of the wine. Shemiyabshim ha-shmarim, that you dry out the dregs, bitanur, after you've dried them out, they have this property that they cause a certain amount of leavening within the bread. So if you use those, that's the question that we're talking about here. So that's what he uses kol machmetzah lo tochedu for. Lo ye'achel chametz, he uses for the juxtaposition to ayom atem yotzim b'chol shaviv, to teach you that in Mitzrayim, they only kept Isur chametz for one day. So the only pasuk he has left over is the one from Dvarim, which is lo tochal alav chametz. And over there, we already saw how Rabbi Shimon interprets that pasuk. He looks at that juxtaposition of the hekesh to matzah, and that's the Isur chametz for Rabbi Shimon. So according to Rabbi Shimon, the Isur chametz is for all 7 days, and that's brought by the pasuk in Parshat Re'eh. What's interesting here is, what does Chizkiyah do? Chizkiyah says that lo yachel chametz is the source for Isur hana'ah. So if that's the source for Isur hana'ah, how do you get that over to the other parts of Pesach for Rabbi Yehuda, who says that lo yachel chametz is either speaking about before or on Pesach? How do we extrapolate the Isur hana'ah to other places? So the Tosfot says that once you have the lo yachel that teaches you that there's an Isur achila and Isur hana'ah, then we know that every achila in Pesach has that position, has that nature to it. So it's a giloy milta. Once one of the psukim teaches that, then we can expand that or look at all the other Isurei Achilah to be associated with that and say that every Isurei Achilah also incorporates with it an Isur Hana'ah, even though Lo Yachel is only written in one of these instances. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, Machmat Davar Acher Minale, where does Rabbi Yehuda have the position that Rabbi Shimon gets from Kol Machmetzet Lo Tochelu? Where does he get that from? So he says, Midafke Rachmanim Malashon Machmetzet, because the Torah uses a strange word of Machmetzet. It could have said, V'chol Chametz Lo Tochelu. The fact that it uses the word machmetzet allows me to learn both things out. It allows me to learn both machmetzet that machmitz ayedei davar acher is problematic, as well as the fact that kol machmetzet lo tochelu teaches me that there's an additional Isur chametz, whether that is after Pesach or on Pesach itself. To Rabbi Yossi Aglili Minalei, for Rabbi Yehuda, where does he learn this din of Rabbi Yossi Aglili? The din of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, which we just mentioned before in the position of Rabbi Shimon, is that the juxtaposition of lo yachel chametz to the word hayom teaches me that the Isur Chametz Bizman Yitziat Mitzrayim was only for one day. So where does Rabbi Yehuda learn that out from? Iba Yitema. He either, because Midisamich Le Hayom, because he has the Smichut HaParshiot of Hayom to Lo Yachel Chametz. Iba Yitema Smuchim Lo Dorish. Or the other possibility is that he's not Dorish Smuchim. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili brought us the din that Rabbi Shimon said we learn out of Lo Yachel Chametz juxtaposed to Hayom Atem Yotzim Bechodesh Aviv. So where does Rabbi Yehuda get that din from? So either he says, because of smichut, the juxtaposition teaches me that din. Lo yachel chametz teaches me one din, that's an Isur chametz. A second din that we learn is the juxtaposition, and the two are separate dinim. That's one possibility. Rabbi Yehuda agrees, and he just learns out two different things from this. Or the other possibility is, smuchim lo dorish. He's not dorish juxtaposition. Now we know that that is the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is only dorish smuchim in Sefer Dvarim in Mishnah Torah. He's not dorish smuchim outside of Mishnah Torah. So this would accord with his position that Smuchim is Lodarish and that he does not hold of Rabbi Yossi Aglili's position. If he doesn't hold of Rabbi Yossi Aglili's position, then we would have this pasuk available to him, Lo Yachel Chametz, to teach you about the Isur Chametz. So there are two possibilities in terms of Rabbi Yehuda. Either he does subscribe to that position of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and he learns that from the juxtaposition, but there's still the availability of Lo Yachel Chametz. The juxtaposition teaches you that din of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Or the other possibility is that Rabbi Yehuda does not subscribe to that din of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and it would seem from that position of Rabbi Yehuda that Bizman Mitzrayim, that they had an Isur Chametz for all 7 days and not just for one day. Amar Mar, Uminayin Lo Chel Chametz Mishesha Oto Lamala, Shuver Belotase. How do we know that if you eat chametz from 6 hours and on Erev Pesach, that you're in violation of a lo taseh shenemar, lo tochal alav chametz? This is the pasuk from Sefer Dvarim that Rabbi Yehuda brings that is proof. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda. Amar lo Rabbi Shimon, this is Rabbi Shimon responded in the Braita. V'chev shalom arkink, how can you explain it this way? Halo kvar ne'amar lo tochal alav chametz. Shivat yamim tochal alav matzot. Right, that's the next line in the pasuk. So clearly the alav is not referring to the korban of Pesach. So Rabbi Yehuda, shapir kamerle Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon has a good claim against Rabbi Yehuda. How is Rabbi Yehuda going to respond to Rabbi Shimon's limud, which is a strong question against Rabbi Yehuda's position? So Rabbi Yehuda amar lecha, how will the kovo chuva afilu bizman hazeh hu da'ato? That comes to teach you that there's an obligation to eat matzah even today. Because you would have thought that there is an association of the matzah to Korban HaPesach, and that association to Korban HaPesach means that only when there's a Korban HaPesach is there an obligation to eat matzah. Without the obligation of Korban HaPesach, for instance, with Zman HaZeh, when we can't bring a Korban HaPesach, maybe there should be no Chiyuv Achilat Matzah. So that's what the pasuk comes to teach you. The pasuk comes to teach you, Shivat Yamim Tochal Alav Matzot. Just like the Alav is referencing back to the Korban HaPesach, and it's referencing back to the Korban HaPesach to teach you that it's a chuvah, that it's an obligation. So yes, the Matzot are an obligation, just like the Korban HaPesach. So Alav in both instances means the Korban HaPesach. Lo Tochal Alav Chametz, do not eat Chametz when it's the time for the Korban HaPesach. Shivat Yamim Tochal Alav Matzot, that Alav is referencing the Korban HaPesach again, chuvah. Just like the Korban HaPesach is a chuvah, so too Achilat Matzah is a chuvah. But it's a chuvah that's independent of the Korban Pesach. How do I know it's independent? Because Shivat Yamim. It applies to all 7 days. So it applies to all 7 days. Therefore, it's independent of the Korban Pesach. And Achilat Matzah is still a din d'oraita independent of Korban Pesach. Even when you don't bring a Korban Pesach, you still have an obligation to eat matzot. V'Rabbi Shimon, l'kuvah chuvah minale. Where does Rabbi Shimon have that? If Rabbi Shimon's already losing these psukim to teach him the Isur Chametz on Pesach itself, and the hekesh between matzah and chametz to tell you that it's limited to Pesach itself, then where does he learn out this din that there's a chuvah obligation to eat matzah even when there's no korban haPesach? So nafkele, he learns it out from a very difficult pasuk. This is a pasuk that clearly doesn't say what the Gemara says it's about to say, but the Gemara utilizes it in that way, which is mibe'erov tochlu. Be'erov tochlu matzot. On the night of Pesach, you should eat matzot. If I read you the pasuk, it's clear that's not what the pasuk means. It's found in Shmot Perek Yud Bet. The pasuk says in pasuk Yud Chet, barishon, ba'abasar yom nachodesh, Ba'erev tochlu matzot ad yayom ve'achad ve'esrim lachodesh ba'erev. So the erev over there is just telling you when it starts and when it ends. It's not telling you ba'erev tochlu matzot that that's a tzivoy. Clearly the pasuk's not talking about a tzivoy. The pasuk is delineating the time frame, which is ba'erev tochlu matzot, meaning that when you eat on that night, that's the night you start. You start on the first night of Pesach, and then it goes basar yom lachodesh ba'erev tochlu matzot ad yom ve'achad ve'esrim lachodesh ba'erev. It's giving you the time period. As Rashi says over here, it was extraneous. It wasn't necessary to teach you Be'erev Tochlu. And since it's extraneous, therefore the Gemara darshans it and takes it out of context and makes it into a tzivoy. It's clearly not a tzivoy. And the Gemara is usurping it and taking it out of context and saying it is a tzivoy. And by doing so, creates a chiyuv matzah on the first night of Pesach. Now what's interesting about that is therefore comes out that you have an obligation to eat matzah on the first night of Pesach, which we'll get to later in the Masechta. What Rashi asks over here, that the Torah mentions more than one time that Shivat Yamim Tochal Matzot, that you must eat matzah for 7 days. The pasuk shows up over and over again, shows up in Shmot Perek Yud Bet, shows up in Shmot Perek Yud Gimel, shows up in Devarim Tadzayin, shows up in Emor, shows up numerous times that the Shivat Yamim Tochal Matzot. So why can't we just take one of those and make that into the obligation to eat matzot according to Rabbi Shimon? So Rashi says, oh, you don't have to worry about that. You know why you don't have to worry about that? Because all those psukim are just a reshut. When it says, Shivat Yomim Tochal Matzot, it says, if you want to eat something, you got to eat matzah. That's a reshut. Talking about an obligation, a chuvah, that we don't have a source for. That we don't have a source to make it an obligation. So Rabbi Yehuda gets his source from connecting it to Korban HaPesach, connecting matzah to Korban HaPesach. Rabbi Shimon gets it from Be'erev Tochlu Matzot, which makes it sound like there's a tzivui to eat matzah on that night. I'll say this now in passing. We'll get back to when the Gemara makes this drasha. What Rashi just said now, and the Gemara is going to say later, is very difficult. It's not simple, and it's not the simple pshat the psukim. It's pretty obvious from the psukim that there's an obligation to eat matzah for 7 days. And that's what all these psukim mean. They mean there is an obligation. Now, Chazal darshaned it and said, no, it's a reshut, and it's not an obligation. So then, when we get there, we have to explain why they did that, despite the fact that you have 13 or 14 psukim, I think, in the Torah that say 7 days you eat matzah. And you have this one pasuk taken out of context that says, Berech tochlu matzot. All of a sudden, there's only a chuvah, an obligation to eat on the first night of Pesach. It's a very difficult limud and requires a lot of explanation. So when we get to that limud, we'll speak about it. I just want to note that Rashi mentions it over here and takes it for granted that this is an easy way to solve the problem. It's not such an easy solution. It's not such an easy solution because there are many Rishonim that believe Rashi is wrong, that there is actually an obligation to eat matzah for the 7 days, and they believe that's the Pashtuta Psukim, including the Ibn Ezra, including
Rav Sadia Gaon,
including what seems to be the Rambams in Mor Nevuchim and the Gra as well. So it's not so simple what Rashi says, but he spends a lot of time speaking about it here, so I just want to mention it, and then we'll come back to it again when we do this limud in the Gemara. All right, Rabbi Yehuda. What is Rabbi Yehuda going to do? Beber of Tochlu Matzot. What is he going to do with that obligation? They need that for two people who are patur from Korban HaPesach. These are two individuals who don't have to bring a Korban HaPesach. Someone who's Tamei, who can't bring the Korban HaPesach. Derech Rokoka is too far away to bring it. So he is exempted. Both of them are exempted from bringing the Korban HaPesach. You would think that that exemption from Korban HaPesach also exempts them from eating matzah. Since they don't have to eat the Korban HaPesach, they don't have to eat matzah and moror. Kamash Malan, that that's not the case. Berov Tochlu Matzot means here's an obligation even for these individuals who are not bringing the Korban HaPesach. Vi Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon, Tamei Vishaya Derech Rokoka Loitz Trichra. I don't need a pasuk for that. Delo Gara Mi Arel Uben Nechar. These are no worse than an Arel and a Ben Nechar. An Arel is someone who is not circumcised, not by choice, but because he had two brothers that passed away from getting a Milah. So it's too dangerous for him to get a Milah. So it's not by choice, but because Sakanat Nefashot, he doesn't get a Milah. So that Arel may not bring a Korban HaPesach. That's what's said in the Psukim. Ben Nechar is someone shenitnakru masav l'aviv shebishamayim. Someone who has distanced himself, made himself foreign to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means that this is someone who's not necessarily keeping the halacha properly or doesn't necessarily believe in Korban HaPesach. He also does not bring a Korban HaPesach. So these two individuals don't bring a Korban HaPesach. And Nichtiv, and about them it says, V'chol Arel lo yocha bo. Any Arel will not participate or partake of the Korban HaPesach. Bohu ainu ochel. He's only excluded from eating the Korban HaPesach. Aval ochel hu b'matzah maror. But he's not excluded from matzah maror. So just like by Arel and Ben Nechar, we have a separation between the din of Korban HaPesach and the din of matzah maror. Same thing will apply to Tamei u'b'derech rechoka. I can extrapolate that din to them, that there's no correlation between Korban HaPesach and matzah maror. And therefore, I don't need a separate pasuk for that. V'Rabbi Yehuda. So why does Rabbi Yehuda need it? It says, k'tiv b'hai, uchtiv b'hai. So Rabbi Yehuda, the answer is, you're right. And Ochanami, you really don't need it. But nevertheless, the Torah gave us. It gave us a pasuk for Arel and Ben Nechar. And it gave us a pasuk for Tamei and Derech Rechoka. So because of that, it ended up with two pasukim, and he doesn't have Berov Tochlu Matzot for a chuvah for that night of Matzah. And therefore, he learns it out of Shivat Yomim Tochal Alav Matzot that's found in Parshat Re'eh. The answer is no. I think the Gemara is just throwing in matzah and maror together because it's al matzot marorim yochlu, which seems to connect the two of them to Korban HaPesach. So I think they're trying to separate between Korban HaPesach and matzah and maror. The Gemara clearly says later on that maror is connected to Korban HaPesach and it's only an obligation to write with a Korban HaPesach. So I think it's just brought agav here. I don't think that's the maror here. I don't think it's brought to teach you that maror is doraita. I think they're just throwing matzah and maror together because they're found together in the pasuk, which correlates them with the Korban HaPesach. But the focus of the Gemara is on Matzah and not on Maror. All right, so now the Gemara says, all right, who's the author? Mani Matitan. Take your pick. Who's the author of this Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda. If Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the Mishnah, Chametz Stama Kamar. He doesn't differentiate between Chametz of a Jew and a Chametz of Nachri. He says Chametz, period. Afilu Nachri. So then, where's this differentiation between Nachri and Jew come up in the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda has nothing of the sort. V. Rabbi Shimon. If Rabbi Shimon is the author of Mishnah, the Israel Nami Mishra Koshari. Forget about a Goy's Chametz being Mutar Banai afterwards. Even a Jew's Chametz is Mutar Banai afterwards. So why are you saying only a non-Jew's Chametz is Mutar? V. Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Afilu Toks Mana Nami Mishra Koshari Bahana. Why do you have to talk about after Pesach? Even on Pesach itself, there's no Isser Hana'ah. So far we have no author of our Mishnah because none of these individuals fits into the Mishnah itself. And now we're going to have attempts by the Amoraim to take each one of them and place them in. So we'll just do Rabbi Yehuda today, and then we'll continue with the rest tomorrow. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov. L'olam Rabbi Yehuda hi. Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the Mishnah. V'yolif su'or da'achida mi su'or di'ri'iyah. And he learns out the din of achila. There's not sword de achila, but he learns out the din of chametz, eating chametz on Pesach, from the din of bal yireh and bal yimatzeh, which is masa or diriyah, just like by the din of bal yireh, shelcha iataru'eh, aval ataru'eh shel achirim v'shel givoah, just like by the case of bal yireh, bal yimatzeh, we said l'cha. The word l'cha comes to teach you that only yours is problematic. But if it belongs to a non-Jew, if it belongs to Hekdesh, that chametz is not problematic for you for bal yireh. Avsor dechila, same is true by chametz itself and eating of chametz. So that shelcha iata ochel, that you may not eat your own chametz, aval ata ochel shel acherim v'shel gavua, but you may eat or consume the chametz of others and of hekdesh. Ubedinhu, di bailei de mitna dafilu bechila namishari. So the Mishnah should have mentioned that it's even mutar bechila, meaning that when the Mishnah says over here mutar banah by the nachriz chametz, it even meant mutar bechila. But because to keep a parallel structure in the Mishnah, which is that the Jews' chametz is asur b'hanah, so therefore it's tanya nami nachri de mutar b'hanah. Therefore, by the nachri's chametz, it said mutar b'hanah, but it really should have said mutar b'hanah and also mutar b'achila. Ubedinu di bayle de mitna afilu b'toch zmano mutar b'hanah. Even during Pesach, the chametz of a nachri is mutar b'hanah. So why did it only mention it after Pesach? Because I did the tanya Yisrael achar zmano. Came to teach you the Chiddush that even after Pesach, the Jews' chametz remains asur b'hana'ah, tana nami nachri la'achar zmano. So therefore, also mentioned the nachri's chametz after Pesach, that it is mutar b'hana'ah. So that's why the Mishnah is talking about after Pesach. It's talking about after Pesach, both cases, because it's a Chiddush for the Israel. Number one is that the Jews' chametz is asur after a Pesach. And number two is it's talking about hana'ah. So therefore, the Nachri is just compared to the Jew. So the Nachri is spoken about after Pesach, and it's talking about it being Mutar B'Hana'ah. Even though for the Nachri, it would be both Mutar B'Hana'ah, even on Pesach itself, and Mutar B'Achila after Pesach. Rashi says an incredible statement over here. Rashi says, based on this limud, it's the last wide line of Rashi. He says, Umutar Chemtzo Shel Nachri Ah B'Achila V'Afil MePesach MinaTorah. Rashi says, based on this limud, if your good neighbors, the Johnsons, offer you some chametz on Pesach, you can eat it. No problem. What is the drasha here? The drasha says, l'cha, only your chametz is a problem by bayirei ma'imetzei, and so too by achila. Only your chametz is a problem to eat. Your friend, the nochri's chametz, not a problem to eat. And therefore, Rashi says, you can go over to your neighbors, the Johnsons, and you can have chametz with them on Pesach. No problem. It's not your chametz. No iser achila, no iser hana. And that's what seems to be the Pashtuta Gemara. The Pashtuta Gemara is, that ain't Ochanami. By the Nachri, it could have said Mutar Be'achila, and it could have said it even on Pesach itself. You could have eaten the Chametz on Pesach itself. So that's what Rashi says. Tosfot says, oh my gosh, how could you ever say something like that? That would be Mutar Teeth Chametz on Pesach from a Nachri? How could you ever come up with that? So Tosfot says, no, the Gemara means here, it doesn't mean Mutar Be'achila, it means Mutar Be'achila after Pesach. After Pesach, the non-Jews Chametz is Mutar Be'achila, Mutar Be'hana. On Pesach, it's only mutar b'hana'ah. You can get hana'ah from a goy's chametz on Pesach. You cannot eat the goy's chametz on Pesach. And that's min ha'Torah. Even min ha'Torah, you cannot eat the goy's chametz on Pesach. So Tosfot is not willing to accept what Rashi says over here. Now, he does say the problem is, what do you do with Hekdesh? I mean, what does it mean that you can get benefit from Hekdesh's chametz? You can't eat it. It's only according to Tosfot. And you can't eat it according to Rashi. It's Hekdesh. Number two is you can't get hana'ah from it. It's Hekdesh. So in the end, what does that mean? That it's your chametz is problematic, but Hekdesh's chametz is not problematic. What are you going to do with Hekdesh's chametz? So in the end, Tosfot leaves it as somewhat of a tzarach iyun, but he says, all right, maybe you can say that the only Isra you'll be in violation here if you eat the chametz of Hekdesh is an Isra of mi'ilah, that you ate Hekdesh, not an Isra of chametz. So that's what they're teaching you over here. But otherwise, it doesn't make so much sense, because what's the permissibility of Hekdesh's chametz? When you're talking about bayireh, then it makes sense to mention Hekdesh. Hekdesh's chametz, you can put it on the side, you could be in your house, and it's not a problem. But when you're talking about Achila and Hana'ah, the chametz of Hekdesh does not make so much sense. So, again, he leaves that a little bit in a Tzarech Iyun. Okay, we'll stop over here, and we'll continue with the Gemara tomorrow.